This is Oklahoma's Talk Radio, the new Freedom 96.9. Join the conversation by calling 405-608-4377. Local news, Oklahoma politics and events. This is Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck.
And a good morning. It's Monday, August 10th, 2026. 79 degrees and sunny at 7:06. Hope you had a terrific weekend. Back into the week again, though. It's Monday. There's a whole bunch we've got to talk about this morning. A three-year-old is dead after a tragic accident in southwest Oklahoma City. We'll have the latest on that investigation. A fiery crash on Lake Hefner Parkway leaves one person dead. We'll have the details on that. A couple of accused killers out of Memphis are arrested here in Oklahoma City. What police say they did. A top Oklahoma politician says the woman responsible for one of the state's most notorious mass murders should not be paroled. We'll have the details on that one. A fire at a cat rescue leaves dozens of cats missing. More on that story coming up. Oklahoma County's burn ban continues. We'll give you a timeline for that. Oklahoma teachers remain among the lowest paid educators in the entire country. We'll break down those numbers. Plus, we'll take your calls and comments at 405-608-4377 and your dad joke of the day. But first, your Freedom First News headlines. A three-year-old boy has died after being hit by a car in southwest Oklahoma City. Police were called around 7 o'clock on Saturday night to the area of Southwest 15th Street and Mustang Road. Investigators say the boy wandered into the path of a car traveling west on Southwest 15th Street. Police say the driver did not see the child, but stayed at the scene and is cooperating with investigators. Bystanders performed CPR and provided medical aid until first responders arrived. The child was taken to the hospital where he was pronounced dead. His name has not yet been released. A fiery crash in Oklahoma City has left one person dead. Police say the driver was headed south on Lake Hefner Parkway around 10:45 on Sunday morning when the vehicle ran off the road and slammed into the Memorial Road Bridge. The car was immediately burst into flames, and the driver, who was the only person inside, was pronounced dead at the scene. His name has not yet been released. No one else was injured. Lake Hefner Parkway was shut down while police investigated what led to the crash, and crews cleared the scene. One person is dead after being hit by a car in southeast Oklahoma City. Police say a man was struck by a vehicle in the 1300 block of El Reno Avenue just after midnight on Sunday. The victim was taken to the hospital where he was pronounced dead. His name has not yet been released. Police say the driver remained at the scene and is cooperating with investigators. The crash happened near I-235. Police are continuing to investigate exactly what led up to that deadly collision. Well, two people wanted in connection with a deadly shooting in Memphis are now behind bars in Oklahoma City. Memphis officials say a 37-year-old Joseph Harris and 49-year-old Ashundra Lee were wanted after a man was shot and then struck by a vehicle back in July. The victim later died. Investigators say the suspects fled Memphis and were eventually spotted in Arkansas. Authorities say Harris and Lee were found and arrested Thursday in Oklahoma City. Both are being held in the Oklahoma County Jail on charges related to being flight risks while Memphis authorities continue their investigation. A suspect with several outstanding warrants is behind bars after police. Pursuit ended in a crash in Oklahoma City. Police say the suspect took off after a brief stop on Saturday afternoon. Officers later found him speeding through the area before he crashed into several vehicles near Southwest 30th and Agnew around 5 p.m. Oklahoma City police responded to the scene and say the suspect was taken into custody shortly after the crash. Police have not released any details yet about the warrants or the suspect's criminal history. An Oklahoma man is dead after his car was found submerged in a Florida waterway. Cocoa Beach police say that someone passing by spotted the rear bumper of the car sticking out of the water near West Cocoa Beach Causeway on Sunday morning. Officers found the 23-year-old driver dead inside the front seat. Police say the car, a 2023 gray Nissan Altima, was submerged in about 8 feet of water. Investigators believe the man was traveling at a high rate of speed when he left the roadway and crashed into the water. He was the only person inside, and police say foul play is not suspected. Oklahoma Senate President Pro Tem Lonnie Paxton is opposing parole for Verna Stafford, who pleaded guilty to two counts of second-degree murder tied to the 1980 sirloin stockade murders. Stafford was originally given two concurrent sentences, but after an appeal, she was sentenced to two consecutive life terms back in 1990. Her second sentence became eligible for parole consideration this year. The Pardon and Parole Board has advanced her case to stage two, where Stafford will appear before the board and victims' families can speak. Paxton says considering parole is an injustice to the victims and their families. Stafford's hearing is scheduled for August. A house fire in Enid has left one man without a home and dozens of cats missing. Police say the fire started near Cherokee and Van Buren on Sunday and quickly spread. The man living there escaped safely but lost everything inside. Dolly's Cat Sanctuary and Rescue, which was on the property, says that one cat was found alive and is being treated for minor burns, abrasions, and smoke inhalation. Three other cats later found are expected to receive veterinary care. Most of those cats are still missing, though. Oklahoma County's burn ban is now in effect through August 21st as dry weather and stronger winds increase the risk for wildfires. The Oklahoma City Fire Department is preparing for the possibility of more fires with dozens of brush trucks available and additional equipment that can be staffed if conditions worsen. Firefighters also work with Oklahoma City Police, whose helicopters can carry a Bambi bucket to drop water on fires. But officials say prevention is still the best defense. Residents are urged to follow the burn ban, clear a defensible space rather around their homes, and to call the fire department immediately if they see smoke. A lawsuit against Teen Challenge Oklahoma is raising serious questions about how some young people were treated in the organization's faith-based residential programs. A former resident at New Life House Girls Academy in Northeast Oklahoma alleges she experienced abuse, neglect, and forced labor during an 8-month stay beginning back in 2014. The lawsuit claims girls were isolated from their families, subjected to harsh discipline, excessive exercise, and restricted access to basic needs. It also alleges that residents were forced to perform unpaid labor. Teen Challenge Oklahoma has not responded to requests for comment and has not yet filed a response in court. The allegations have yet to be proven. A homeless encampment in Norman that was cleared by Governor Stitt's Operation Safe initiative just a few months back is backfilled again. People living there say they have nowhere else to go, while some nearby residents say the situation has become a public safety concern. One neighbor says he watched the cycle for years. People are cleared out, then they return, or they're sent somewhere else. Stitt's office says lasting progress requires local leaders to address public safety and connect people with housing, treatment, or other resources. But those living in the encampment say without any real solutions, the cycle will just continue. 79 degrees and sunny at 7:13. Oklahoma teachers remain among the lowest paid educators in the entire country, according to a new National Education Association report. The average Oklahoma teacher salary is about $61,900, ranking at 37th nationally. But starting pay is much lower, just over $41,000, ranking 48th. That's nearly $20,000 below the estimated minimum wage in Oklahoma. The state also ranks in the nation for average pay among educators, support workers, including paraprofessionals, custodians, nurses, and cafeteria workers. Lawmakers have increased teacher salaries and school funding in recent years, but the report shows Oklahoma continues to lag behind most other states. Oklahoma scientists, universities, and nonprofits are raising some concerns about a proposed overhaul of the federal grant system. The plan would centralize federal grant funding through the Office of Management and Budget and give the government more authority to terminate discretionary awards. Critics fear that could prioritize funding and make it harder to support research, education, and community programs. The proposal would also increase reporting and record-keeping requirements, which critics say could especially hurt smaller nonprofits and communities. OU and Oklahoma State University say they're monitoring those changes, and the proposal will take effect on October 1st. Three Oklahoma hospitals are being recognized as high-performing by U.S. News and World Report. While no Oklahoma hospital made the nation's top 50, high-performing is the highest ranking given on the list. So St. Francis Hospital in Tulsa, for example, ranked as the best regional hospital in Oklahoma, earning high marks in about 15 procedures and conditions. SSM Health, St. Anthony Hospital in Oklahoma City ranked second with 9 high-performing ratings. St. Francis Hospital in South Tulsa ranked third with 7. The rankings are based largely on objective data, which includes survival rates, patient experience, and other performance measures. Oklahoma voters have until 5 o'clock this afternoon to request an absentee ballot for the August 25th election. You do not need to provide any specific reason to vote absentee. Applications can be completed online through the Oklahoma Voter Portal or in person at your county election board. Election officials are reminding voters to not wait until the last minute, especially if they plan to return their ballot by mail. The August 25th election includes several local and statewide ballots and races. check with your county election board for the specific contests on your ballot. Well, the boil water order is now in effect for the Hydro Public Works Authority after E. coli was detected in the town's drinking water. The Department of Environmental Quality says residents should bring water to a full rolling boil for at least 1 minute before drinking it, preparing food, washing dishes, or brushing their teeth. The order will remain in effect until officials determine that the water is safe for human consumption. Hydro is in Cato County, about 60 miles west of Oklahoma City. Officials have not yet said when or how the E. coli was detected. Housing leaders from across Oklahoma's tribal nations are calling for more funding and fewer regulations to help expand housing and home ownership. U.S. Housing Secretary Scott Turner joined Congressman Tom Cole for a listening session in Oklahoma City with tribal leaders. Turner said excessive regulations, fees, and paperwork are driving up the cost of housing, while Cole says funding remains a major concern. Cole says a proposed federal spending bill would increase funding for tribal housing programs by about 15%. He also wants Congress to reauthorize the Native American Housing Assistance and Self-Determination Act, which has not been reauthorized in more than a decade. Construction is moving forward on a new $6 million governor's mansion in Oklahoma. The home is being built on the grounds of the state's current governor's residence and is expected to be finished in January. The project was first revealed back in 2022 as a private effort to build a new home for the first family. While private donations are paying for the construction costs, taxpayers will be responsible for maintaining the new property. Crews have completed the framing and installed windows. The identities of donors remain secret, despite repeated requests for the names of those who contributed the roughly $6 million. Relief is coming to the monks of St. Gregory's Abbey in Shawnee, thanks to an outpouring of community support. After the monastery's aging air conditioning system failed during a triple-digit heat, donations poured in to help for repairs. The monks set a goal of $112,000, and an anonymous donor stepped up to cover the remaining $75,000 needed to reach it. Work begins today to connect the monastery to the central air conditioning system on the St. Gregory campus. The project should take 2 to 3 weeks. Extra donations will pay for new equipment and insulation, helping the monks to stay cool for years to come. And who doesn't love cool monks? I mean, come on. Oklahoma could be in for a wet and stormy winter, according to the Farmer's Almanac. Forecasters say very strong El Nino could bring more moisture to the southern plains, including Oklahoma. That means more chances for rain, snow, and ice, with temperatures potentially bouncing between freezing and thawing. The Almanac says a slight change in temperature could turn rain to an icy mix of snow or into a significant winter storm. That last very strong El Nino that we had back in 2015 brought Oklahoma its wettest month and wettest year on record. Forecasters stress, though, this is just a prediction, not a guarantee. Well, like we talked about, a Norman homeless encampment cleared by Governor Stitt's Operation Safe program is back again. People living there say they've got no place else to go, while nearby residents say the cycle of clearing and returning has become a public safety concern. Stitt's office says lasting progress requires local leaders to address safety and connect people to housing and treatment. So what are your thoughts on this? Are we just trying to solve homelessness here, or are we just trying to solve the visibility of homeless? Are homeless encampments, are the sweeps cruel, or are they necessary? Should taxpayers be required to provide housing for people who refuse treatment? Is homelessness primarily a housing problem? Is it an addiction problem? Is it a mental health problem? Is it some combination of all three of them? We know housing prices are crazy right now, but at the same time, we know that housing is available. So we want to hear from you on this one. 405-608-4377, 405-608-4377, because ultimately it's you, the taxpayer, who's going to be paying for this. How do you want your money to be spent to make sure that people are properly housed and that we've got the safety in the communities that we need? It's 79 degrees and sunny at 720. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brobeck on Freedom 96.9.
Freedom.
Traffic.
We now take you to our Eye in the Sky.
Traffic brought to you by Service Pro Plumbing. They can't fix the traffic, but they can fix your plumbing. Call today or visit serviceprookc.com. Got some construction issues to deal with on this Monday morning. Bridge work, May and Northwest Expressway eastbound, I-44 at Klassen and I-44 at Southwest 74th, plus on the Kilpatrick-Wilshire to Northwest 122nd.
talking about news and opinions from D.C. to OKC. We're Oklahoma's talk radio, the new Freedom 96.9, freedom969.com, and on the Freedom app.
Hello, this is Michael McGuire with McGuire Capital. I want to personally invite you to tune in to my show each and every Saturday. It's called The Bull and Bear Show. It starts at 10 a.m. and runs to 1 p.m. You'll get to know me each and every week. And more importantly, when the time's right for you, we'll set a one-on-one meeting and I'm going to get to know you, your family, and your retirement goals. Together, you and I will lock arms and I'll get you to and through retirement. Tune in starting at 10 a.m. Saturday on Freedom 96.9.
Lace up your running shoes and join the Oklahoma City Fire Department for the 13th annual Project Life 5K on Saturday, August 22nd at the Devon Lawn and the Myriad Gardens. Every registration helps support Project Life programs, including providing free bicycle helmets to children through the Ride Safe program. Whether you run, walk, or cheer from the sidelines, you'll be making a difference in our community. Register today at runsignup.com and search Project Life 5K. We'll see you on August 22nd. Register today at runsignup.com.
Hey there, I'm here chatting with Stephen Smith with ICS Concrete Coatings in Oklahoma City. Stephen, ICS has been serving the community for over 50 years. What's the secret behind your longevity?
It's our family-owned roots. We treat every project like it's for our own home, using top-tier Pentek polyurea coatings that are durable, stylish, and built to last. Our focus is on quality and making customers happy.
That's a legacy to be proud of. So what can homeowners or businesses expect when they work with ICS?
It's a seamless experience. We start with a free estimate, help you pick from a range of colors and finishes, and install in just one day. Your floor is ready for use the next morning. No more long waits.
Well, that's a service you can trust. So how do folks get started?
Just reach out and we'll take care of the rest with our lifetime warranty backing you up.
Well, get a floor that lasts with ICS Concrete Coatings. Give them a call at 405-403-4012 or head to icsconcretecoatings.com for a free estimate today.
Hear the latest news and trending information that impacts your world on the new Freedom 96.9, freedom969.com, and on the Freedom app, Oklahoma's talk radio.
It is Eric Erickson, and I am live weekdays 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on Freedom 96.9. I will take you through the news headlines and cover all the breaking news as it happens. I'll give you a fair and balanced analysis of what's actually going on in the world, what's true, and then I'll tell you what I think about it and take your phone calls as well at 877-973-7425. Listen every weekday 11 to 2 right here on Freedom 96.9.
Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck. Join the conversation by calling 405-608-4377.
Good morning and welcome back. Going to be a hot one today, mostly sunny. High temperature around 101 degrees. Tonight we'll see clear skies, breezy. It's going to be a kind of a pleasant night out. Low of 75 degrees on Tuesday. Look for mostly sunny skies with a high of 101. Then on Wednesday, mostly sunny and breezy. High of 102 degrees. 79 degrees and sunny at 724. Well, a Norman homeless campment and cleared out by Governor Kevin Stitt's Operation Safe is back again. People living there say they've got no place else to go, while nearby residents say it's become a real public safety concern. So what do you think? Are we solving homelessness or are we just solving the visibility of homelessness? Are these encampment sweeps, are they cruel? Are they necessary? If so, how do we do it? And how do we do it in a way that's humane? Or do we just clear them out and tell these guys to go someplace else? If someone refuses help available, and there's plenty of help available, should they be allowed to stay? And should taxpayers be expected to provide housing to people who refuse treatment? I know I've got to pay my mortgage, you've got to pay your mortgage, you've got to pay your rent. How do you feel about paying rent and mortgage for somebody else because they don't want to go through the proper procedures to get a home? Is homelessness a housing problem? Is it an addiction problem? Is it a mental health problem? Is it all three? We want to hear from you on this one. 405-608-4377, 405-608-4377. When I'm not playing radio show host, I work for the Oklahoma County Sheriff's Office. And on weekends, I spend a lot of time down in Bricktown. And just about every weekend, I'm dealing with somebody who's homeless. and can tell you, at least anecdotally, that the vast majority of them suffer with either addiction issues or mental health issues or some combination of the two. And a while back, we decided as a nation that it was cruel to mandate people to be institutionalized when they have mental health issues. And somehow it's less cruel to have them out on the street where they're freezing to death or starving or killing each other. We just had a case a little while ago where a homeless guy beat another homeless guy to death with a brick. How is that somehow less cruel than mandating people get treatment? I think mandated treatment is not a bad idea at this point. Tim is from Moore. He's talking about the homeless issue that we've got across the state. Good morning, Tim. How are you, brother?
Pretty good. How are you this morning?
Man, if I was any better, I have to be twins. What are your thoughts on this, man? This is a huge problem.
Well, like you said, we live in Moore, and we go to Thunderbird quite a bit. Uh-huh. And I don't know if you've heard about what's happening at Thunderbird with the camping areas, but the city of Norman sends the homeless people out there, buys them tents, and gives them 10 free days of camping.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yep, that's what they've been doing. They've been doing it for a while, and every time we go camping, we usually get somebody wanting cigarettes or alcohol or charge their phone or something. And it's kind of becoming a hassle. They'll just leave their tents and their trash and take off.
I mean, that makes it a not very family-friendly place either. I mean, if I'm going camping with the kids, I want to go someplace where I'm not worried about some homeless person with mental health issues and violence issues coming up and approaching my kids.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
I didn't even know that was a thing, man. I appreciate the heads up on that. So what's the fix for this? What are your thoughts?
You know, I really don't. I don't know the fix. It just seems like Stitt's not really doing a great job at what it's doing. He's not trying hard. There's a lot of options out there.
Yeah, there's quite a bit. And his defense, I think what he's trying to do is clean these things up quickly, and then the expectation is they're going to stay cleaned up. And that's not the reality. The reality is you're going to come in with a bunch of bulldozers, you're going to clean up all this crap that they leave around, and then over the next couple of weeks, they're just going to come right back in again. So we're not really solving any problems. We're just spending a whole lot of money making things look better for a little while. And Stitt's point is well taken. He says that there's got to be some commitment taken by these local communities, in this case Norman, to deal with the housing issue themselves after the cleanup is complete. And Norman doesn't seem, like you said, very willing to do that, especially if they're buying campsites for homeless people over at Thunderbird.
Yeah, they give them 10 full days, and they've been getting them tents. I've heard several stories of it from the homeless people that are there.
Man,
and they leave
insane.
Their trash. There's just that, like one person left a bunch of like a stack of pallets. You know what I mean? And it's just, I don't know if there's a quick fix for this or not.
I think much of the problem is we've got this short-term solutions for it. It's out of sight, out of mind. If we're not seeing them today, we're okay for today, and then we'll worry about tomorrow. And that's not a very good way of thinking things. What would you think about like a forced institutionalization program?
I think Trump is right on that. We need to bring back the homes, the mental health homes, which I can't remember what's called.
Institutionalized, yeah.
Yeah, institutionalized.
I don't think it's a bad idea. Honestly, I mean, there's part of me that says, you know, it's cruel to lock somebody up without any charges against them. But at the other side, it's cruel not to help them out. Tim, thanks so much, man, for calling, and I appreciate you. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brolbeck on Freedom 96.9.
USA Radio News. I'm John Summers. Senate Republicans reached a deal to put off acting on President Trump's voter ID bill until after the August recess. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu formally rejected President Trump's Gaza peace plan. Former President Biden's cancer has spread, according to his son Hunter Biden, who gave an update on his father's health during an interview with the BBC Friday.
Hunter Biden got emotional when discussing his father's health. He said the cancer has metastasized into his bones and further, and added it's very painful.
That's reporter Rob Martier. Passengers on a Delta flight headed for Orlando had to evacuate by way of a slide after the plane made an emergency landing in Atlanta. Rounds of severe storms are set to bear down on millions across the Midwest and Great Lakes this week. From America's News Network, USA Radio News.
This is Noble McIntyre with the McIntyre Minute.
A few days ago, I met with a family that reminded me why I still love practicing law after all these years. They weren't looking to get rich. They weren't trying to beat the system. They just wanted someone to tell them the truth. A distracted driver ran a red light and changed their lives in a matter of seconds. Medical bills started piling up and they missed work. And the insurance company kept telling them to be patient. The problem is the mortgage company isn't patient. The electric company isn't patient. And a family trying to put their lives back together shouldn't have to wait while an insurance company decides what their pain is worth. If you've been hurt in a crash, don't assume the insurance company is looking out for you. Their job is to protect their bottom line. My job is to protect you. I'm Noble McIntyre. If you have any questions after a crash, give us a call at 777-7000.
If you need me, you can find me at McIntyreLaw.com or call me at 777-7000. Catch our show, Legal Talk with Noble McIntyre and Jeremy Thurman, Saturdays at 1 p.m. on Freedom 96.9. That's your McIntyre Minute.
Freedom local coverage starts now.
From the Freedom 96.9 News Center, I'm Bo B. Craft. News is brought to you by Health 65. You've worked hard, and Medicare doesn't have to be. Health 65 is making Medicare easy again. Health65.com. Authorities are investigating a serious crash that shut down westbound I-44 in eastern Oklahoma City early yesterday morning. The crash happened near Hiawassee Road around 3:30 in the morning, prompting a full closure of the highway for several hours. Fire officials have described the incident as serious, but haven't released any additional information about injuries or possible fatalities. The cause of the crash remains under investigation. Well, two people wanted in connection with a homicide in Memphis, Tennessee, have been arrested in Oklahoma City. Investigators say 37-year-old Joseph Harris and 49-year-old Ashundra Lee were sought after a July killing in which a man was shot and struck by a vehicle before later being pronounced dead. Authorities believe the pair had fled Tennessee and were later spotted in Arkansas. They were located and arrested Thursday in Oklahoma City, with both currently being held in the Oklahoma County Jail pending further legal proceedings. A missing person case in Midwest City ended tragically after 75-year-old Richard Slaw was found dead. Police had issued a silver alert after Slaw, who suffered from dementia, disappeared Thursday afternoon. Authorities announced he'd been located deceased. That's the latest from the Freedom 96.9 News Center on Oklahoma's Talk Radio. Your Oklahoma City Freedom Forecast is next.
Let's be honest. Medicare can get complicated, fast. Too many plans, too many opinions, not enough straight answers. That's where Health 65 and Edmund comes in. We will give you a clear, straightforward guidance so you can understand your options and choose what works best for you. No runarounds, no pressure, just help when and where you need it. Hi, I'm Philip Beard. Give me a call today or visit Health65.com. That's Health65.com.
Health 65 is not connected to the federal Medicare program.
When it comes to Oklahoma Labor Commissioner, one question matters. Who's actually done the work? The answer is Kevin West.
I'm Kevin West. I've spent 40 years on Oklahoma job sites, actually helping to build Oklahoma.
West knows hard work. West knows conservative values. Protecting Oklahoma jobs, defending business freedom. Kevin West, ready on day one. Kevin West for Labor Commissioner on August 25th.
Let's get to work.
Paid for by Kevin West for Labor Commissioner 2026.
Hello again, everyone, from Stevens Ford and Enid, the dealer that says we'll beat any deal, regardless, and proves that fact every single day. The dealer that offers you honest savings and easy financing. Are you shopping for an SUV, one that truly fits your needs? Come to Stevens Ford and Enid and check out our selection of Bronco Sport. We've got a good selection and prices that won't break your budget. Pick out any new 26 model you like and take $3,000 off the MSRP. Need more room for your family? Check out our selection of Ford Expedition. Pick one out, take $3,700 off the MSRP. And get this, both Bronco Sport and Expedition qualify for 84-month Ford financing at 4.9%. And that's another big money-saving fact that your monthly budget will love. And remember this, at Stevens Ford and Enid, we'll beat any deal, regardless.
Offer requires approved credit. Factory rebates are applied.
Freedom.
Weather.
Here's your Oklahoma City AccuWeather forecast. Today will be mostly sunny, breezy, and hot with a high of 101. Tonight, expect breezy conditions at times, otherwise clear skies with a low of 75. Tomorrow will bring mostly sunny skies, breezy conditions, and another hot day with a high of 101. Wednesday will have mostly sunny skies, be breezy and hot with a high of 102. Thursday will be windy and hot with plenty of sunshine and a high of 101. With your Oklahoma City AccuWeather forecast, I'm meteorologist Jason Caterina.
Local news, Oklahoma politics and events. This is Freedom's First News. Join the conversation by calling 405-608-4377.
And a good morning. Welcome to your Monday morning, August 10th in the year of our Lord, 2026. 80 degrees outside right now under sunny skies at 736. That means time for your dad joke of the day. You know, Uncle Dave, my wife and I were talking yesterday, and she says, you know, Aaron, you can be a complete idiot sometimes.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think it's pretty cool she's giving me permission.
Ah, can.
Yeah.
You can be.
I can be, and I will. I'll prove it. Hey, let's check out your Freedom's First News headlines now on Freedom 96.9. A 3-year-old boy has died after being hit by a car in southwest Oklahoma City. Police were called around 7 o'clock on Saturday night to Southwest 15th Street and Mustang Road. Investigators say the boy wandered into the path of a car that was traveling on Southwest 15th Street. Police say the driver did not see the child but stayed at the scene and is cooperating. Bystanders performed CPR until first responders arrived. The child was taken to the hospital where he was pronounced dead. His name has not yet been released. A fiery crash in Oklahoma City has left one person dead. Police say the driver was headed south on Lake Hefner Parkway at around 10:45 on Sunday morning when the vehicle ran off the road and slammed into Memorial Road Bridge. The car immediately burst into flames. The driver, who was the only person inside, was pronounced dead at the scene. His name has not yet been released. No one else was injured. Lake Hefner Parkway was shut down while police investigated what led to the crash and then cleared the scene. Well, one person is dead after being hit by a car in southeast Oklahoma City. Police say a man was struck by a vehicle in the 1300 block of El Reno Avenue just after midnight on Sunday. The victim was taken to the hospital where he was pronounced dead. His name has not yet been released. Police say the driver stayed at the scene and is cooperating with investigators. The crash happened near I-235. Police are continuing to investigate what led to that deadly collision. Two people wanted in connection with a deadly shooting in Memphis are now behind bars here in Oklahoma City. Memphis officials say 37-year-old Joseph Harris and 49-year-old Ashundra Lee were wanted after a man was shot and then struck by a vehicle back in July. The victim later died. Investigators say the suspects fled Memphis and were eventually spotted in Arkansas. Authorities say Harris and Lee were found and arrested in Oklahoma City. Both are now being held in Oklahoma County Jail on charges related to being a flight risk. Well, a suspect with several outstanding warrants is behind bars after police pursuit ended in a crash in Oklahoma City. Police say the suspect took off after a brief traffic stop on Saturday afternoon. Officers later found him speeding before crashing into several other vehicles near Southwest 30th and Agnew around 5 p.m. Oklahoma City police responded and say the suspect was arrested shortly after the crash. Police have not released details about the warrants or the suspect's criminal history. An Oklahoma City man is dead after the car that he was in was found submerged in a Florida waterway. Cocoa Beach police say someone passing by spotted the rear bumper of the car sticking out of the water near West Cocoa Beach Causeway on Sunday morning. Officers found the 23-year-old driver dead in the front seat. The gray 2023 Nissan Altima was submerged in about 8 feet of water. Investigators believe the man was traveling at a high rate of speed when he left the roadway and crashed into the water. He was alone, and police say foul play is not suspected. Oklahoma Senate President Pro Tem Lonnie Paxton is opposing parole for Verna Stafford. She's the woman who pleaded guilty to 2 counts of second-degree murder tied to the 1980s sirloin stockade murders. Stafford was eventually sentenced to 2 consecutive life terms in 1990. Her second sentence became eligible for parole consideration this year. The Pardon and Parole Board has advanced her case to Stage 2, where Stafford will appear before the victims and the board. Victims' families can speak. Paxton says the parole would just be an injustice to the victims and their families. Her hearing is scheduled for August. A house fire in Enid has left a man without a home and dozens of cats missing. Police say the fire started near Cherokee and Van Buren on Sunday and quickly spread. The owner escaped but lost everything in the fire. Dolly's Cat Sanctuary and Rescue, which is on the property, says one cat was found alive and is being treated for burns, abrasions, and smoke inhalation. Three other cats were later found and are expected to receive veterinary care, but most of the other cats, dozens of them, remain missing. Oklahoma County's burn ban is now in effect through August 21st as dry weather and stronger winds increase the risk of wildfires. The Oklahoma City Fire Department says it's preparing with dozens of brush trucks available and additional equipment that can be staffed if conditions worsen. Firefighters also work with Oklahoma City Police, whose helicopters can carry a Bambi bucket to drop water on fires. Officials say prevention is still the best defense, though. Residents are urged to follow the burn ban, clear a defensible space around their homes, and call the fire department immediately if they see any smoke. A lawsuit against Teen Challenge Oklahoma is raising serious questions about how some young people were treated in the organization's faith-based residential programs. A former resident of New Life House Girls Academy in Northeast Oklahoma alleges that she experienced abuse, neglect, and forced labor during an 8-month stay beginning back in 2014. The lawsuit claims girls were isolated from their families, subjected to harsh discipline and excessive exercise, and had access to basic needs restricted. It also alleges that residents were forced to perform unpaid labor. Teen Challenge Oklahoma has not responded to a file or filed a response in court. The allegations have not yet been proven. A homeless encampment in Norman that was cleared by Governor Stitt's Operation Safe initiative just a few months ago is back again. People living there say they've got no place else to go, while nearby residents say the situation has become a public safety concern. One neighbor says he has watched the cycle repeat for years, people clearing out and then returning or sent someplace else. Stitt's office says lasting progress requires local leaders to address public safety and connect people with housing, treatment, and other resources. But those living there say without any real solutions, that cycle will just continue. Oklahoma teachers remain among the lowest paid educators in the country, according to a new National Education Association report. The average Oklahoma teacher's salary is about $61,900, making it 37th nationally. Starting pay is just over $41,000 and ranking 48th. That's nearly $20,000 below the estimated minimum wage in Oklahoma. The state also ranks last in the nation for average pay among education support workers, including paraprofessionals, custodians, nurses, and cafeteria workers. Lawmakers have increased teacher salaries and school funding, but Oklahoma continues to lag behind most other states. Oklahoma scientists, universities, and nonprofits are raising concerns about a proposed overhaul of the federal grant system. The plan would centralize federal grant funding through the Office of Management and Budget and give government more authority to terminate discretionary awards. Critics fear that could politicize funding and make it harder to support research, education, and community programs. The proposal would also increase reporting and record-keeping requirements, which critics say could especially hurt smaller nonprofits. OU and Oklahoma State University say they are monitoring the changes. That proposal could take effect on October 1st. Well, three Oklahoma hospitals are being recognized as, quote, high-performing by U.S. News & World Report. While no Oklahoma hospital made it to the nation's top 50, high-performing is the highest rating on the list. St. Francis Hospital in Tulsa was ranked the best regional hospital in Oklahoma, earning high marks in 15 procedures and conditions. SSM Health St. Anthony Hospital in Oklahoma City ranked second with 9 high-performing ratings, and St. Francis Hospital over in Tulsa is ranked third with 7. The rankings are based on factors including survival rates, patient experience, and other performance measures. Oklahomans have until 5 o'clock today to request an absentee ballot for the August 25th election. You do not need to provide a specific reason to vote absentee. Applications can be completed online through the Oklahoma Voter Portal or in person at your county election board. Election officials are reminding voters not to wait until the last minute, especially if they plan to return their ballot by mail. The August 25th election includes several local and statewide races and questions. Check with your local election board for the specific contests on your ballot. A boil order has now been in effect for Hydro Public Works Authority after E. coli was detected in the town's drinking water. The Oklahoma Department of Environmental Quality says residents should bring water to a full boil. at least 1 minute before drinking it, preparing food, washing dishes, or brushing teeth. The order will remain in effect until officials determine the water is safe for human consumption. Hydro is in Cato County, which is about 60 miles west of Oklahoma City. Officials have not said when or how the E. coli was detected. Housing leaders from Oklahoma's tribal nations are calling for more funding and fewer regulations to expand housing and home ownership. U.S. Housing Secretary Scott Turner joined Congressman Tom Cole for a listening session in Oklahoma City with tribal leaders. Turner says excessive regulations, fees, and paperwork drive up housing costs, while Cole says funding remains a major concern. Cole says a proposed federal spending bill would increase funding for tribal housing programs by 15%. He also wants Congress to reauthorize the Native American Housing Assistance and Self-Determination Act, which has not been reauthorized in more than 10 years. Well, construction is moving forward on a new $6 million governor's mansion in Oklahoma. The home is being built on the grounds of the current governor's residence and is expected to be finished sometime in January. The project was first revealed back in 2022 as a private effort to build a new home for the first family. Private donations are paying for construction costs, but taxpayers will be responsible for maintaining the new property. Crews have completed the framing and installed windows. The identities of the donors remain secret, despite repeated requests for the names of those who contributed the roughly $6 million. Relief is coming for the monks of St. Gregory Abbey in Shawnee, thanks to an outpouring of community support. After the monastery's aging air conditioning system failed during triple-digit heat, donations poured in to help pay for repairs. The monks set a goal of $112,000, and an anonymous donor stepped up to cover the remaining $75,000. Work begins today to connect the monastery to the central air conditioning system on the St. Gregory campus. The project could take up to 2 to 3 weeks. Extra donations will pay for new equipment and insulation, helping to keep the monastery cool for years to come. Well, Oklahoma could be in for a wet and stormy winter, according to the Farmer's Almanac. Forecasters say a very strong El Nino could bring more moisture to the southern plains, including Oklahoma. That means more chances for rain, snow, and ice, with temperatures potentially bouncing between freezing and thawing. The Almanac says a slight change in temperature could turn rain into an icy mix or snow into a significant winter storm. That last very strong El Nino we had back in 2015 brought Oklahoma its wettest month and wettest year on record. Forecasters stress, though, this is just a prediction and not a guarantee. Well, like we talked about, a Norman homeless encampment cleared by Governor Stitt's Operation Safe program is back again. People living there say that they've got no place else to go, while nearby residents say the cycle of clearing and returning has become a public safety return. Stitt's office says lasting progress requires local leaders to address safety and connect people with housing and treatment. So what are your thoughts on this? Are we trying to solve the problem of homelessness here in Oklahoma, or are we just solving the problem of visibility of homeless? Out of sight, out of mind, right? Are homeless encampment sweeps cruel, or are they necessary? Have we got to clean this stuff up and shoo them all out, only to have them come right back again? The expense associated with that, you're the taxpayer, you're the one paying for it. If someone refuses help, should they be allowed to remain in the encampment, or should they be trespassed? Should taxpayers, that's you, be required to provide housing to people who refuse treatment? You're already struggling to pay your mortgage and pay your rent. Now you've got to pay somebody else's. Is homelessness primarily a housing problem? Is it an addiction problem? Is it a mental health problem? Is it some combination of the three? We've got to hear from you on this one. 405-608-4377 if you want to be part of the show. 405-608-4377. It's 80 degrees and sunny at 749. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brolbeck on Freedom 96.9.
Freedom.
Traffic. Traffic.
We now take you to our Eye in the Sky.
Traffic brought to you by Service Pro Plumbing. They can't fix the traffic, but they can fix your plumbing. Call today or visit ServicePROOKC.com. Got some construction issues to deal with on this Monday morning. Bridge work, May and Northwest Expressway eastbound, I-44 at Klassen and I-44 at Southwest 74th, plus on the Kilpatrick-Wilshire to Northwest 122nd.
Celebrating 250 years of freedom. This is Oklahoma's talk radio, the new Freedom 96.9 and Freedom96.9.com. Our hosts are always right.
Hello again, everyone, from Stevens, Ford, and Enid, the dealer that says we'll beat any deal, regardless, and proves that fact every single day. The dealer that offers you honest savings and easy financing. Are you shopping for an SUV, one that truly fits your needs? Come to Stevens, Ford, and Enid and check out our selection of Bronco Sport. We've got a good selection and prices that won't break your budget. Pick out any new 26 model you like and take $3,000 off the MSRP. Need more room for your family? Check out our selection of Ford Expedition. Pick one out, take $3,700 off the MSRP. And get this, both Bronco Sport and Expedition qualify for 84-month Ford financing at 4.9%. And that's another big money-saving fact that your monthly budget will love. And remember this, at Stevens Ford and Enid, we'll beat any deal, regardless.
Offer requires approved credit. Factory rebates are applied.
Hey there, I'm here chatting with Stephen Smith with ICS Concrete Coatings in Oklahoma City. Stephen, ICS has been serving the community for over 50 years. What's the secret behind your longevity?
It's our family-owned roots. We treat every project like it's for our own home, using top-tier Pentek polyurea coatings that are durable, stylish, and built to last. Our focus is on quality and making customers happy.
That's a legacy to be proud of. So what can homeowners or businesses expect when they work with ICS?
It's a seamless experience. We start with a free estimate, help you pick from a range of colors and finishes, and install in just one day. Your floor is ready for use the next morning. No more long waits.
Well, that's a service you can trust. So how do folks get started?
Just reach out and we'll take care of the rest with our lifetime warranty backing you up.
Well, get a floor that lasts with ICS Concrete Coatings. Give them a call at 405-403-4012 or head to icsconcretecoatings.com for a free estimate today.
From the Strait of Hormuz to the Oklahoma City oil field, we're the local talk station you can depend on. The new Freedom 96.9. Freedom969.com and on the Freedom app.
Hey, Oklahoma, this is Dana Lash, host of The Dana Show. I'll be bringing you the latest news you won't hear anywhere else
every weekday starting at 2 p.m.
I think it's unfair to say that, well, she doesn't like men or women's sports. She's MAGA. That's so stupid to just say that the complete blatant observation of scientific fact renders one a trumpkin. That's stupid.
You can hear me weekdays at 2 p.m. on the new Freedom 96.9 and Freedom969.com.
Local news, Oklahoma politics and events. This is Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck.
Good morning and welcome back. Going to be a hot one today. Look for mostly sunny skies with a high going up to 101 degrees. Tonight, clear, breezy, actually a very pleasant night tonight. Low of 75 degrees on Tuesday. Look for mostly sunny skies with a high of 101. Then on Wednesday, mostly sunny and breezy, high going up to 102 degrees. And it looks like those triple-digit temperatures are going to be sticking with us for a while, so brace yourself. 80 degrees outside right now and sunny at 753. Well, we want to get your calls on this one, 405-608-4377, 405-608-4377. A Norman homeless encampment cleared by Governor Kevin Stitt's Operation Safe is back exactly the way that it was before it was even cleared, wasting all that money to clear it. People living there say they've got no place else to go, which really isn't true. Well, nearby residents say it's become a public safety concern, which really is true. So what do you think? Are we solving homelessness or just the visibility of homelessness? Is it kind of an out of sight, out of mind sort of a mindset? Is it a let's clean it up for a little while, and if we don't see it, it's going to be okay. We'll deal with today today, and we'll deal with tomorrow tomorrow. Are these sweeps that the governor is doing cruel, or are they necessary? So keep in mind, when they do these sweeps, the vast majority of the crap they're taking out of there, they're just throwing away. And anybody who's ever dealt with people who have homeless issues knows that they tend to be hoarders. They tend to pick up a whole bunch of crap, and they tend to make a mess. And once you throw out all that stuff, all they do is just reaccumulate it again, and they refill their areas, their living spaces with more of that crap. What if somebody refuses help, which they can do? What if somebody says, no, I'm not going to go to a shelter. I'm not going to get help for my alcoholism, my addiction, my mental health issues. what are the police to do at that point? Do you just leave them there? Do you force them to go in? Are they really breaking any laws? Do we force treatment? That's what we used to do back in the day. But I've got some concerns about that, too. When we're forcing mental health care on people, and let's face it, the vast majority of these folks who are homeless have mental health issues, they have drug issues, they have alcohol issues, they have some combination of the three. Is it cruel to institutionalize them? And part of me has concerns about that, because your freedoms should never be taken away from you just because you have mental health issues. But at the same time, when you become a danger to other people, when you become a menace to other people, when you make it so that people no longer feel secure in their own neighborhoods, is that the point? Is that the line that we cross where we say, yes, it's time to institutionalize these folks, at least until we can get them on some type of a medication regimen or psychotherapy regimen where we can start taking care of their mental health issues and they can start living on their own and becoming members of society, productive members of society, people who are actually working jobs and paying taxes. But as somebody who works down in Bricktown about every weekend with the sheriff's office, I'm dealing with homeless people on the regular. And the vast majority of them have mental health issues. The vast majority of them have drug addiction issues. They're trying to self-medicate, and they're using street drugs to do it. They're using alcohol to do it. And it's interesting because you can be having a conversation with them one second, and the next second they become extremely combative, extremely violent. And it's just kind of out of nowhere. I've taken a bunch of different classes with the sheriff's office, and it's interesting. So one of the mental health classes that we took dealt specifically with schizophrenia, which a lot of people who are homeless have schizophrenia issues. And what the class consisted of doing is it had us put on headphones and try to write a paragraph based on a paragraph that we read. But while we're doing that, we're hearing various different voices coming in through the headphones, shouting at us, screaming at us, swearing at us, saying very, very strange things. And the purpose of the exercise was to show us just how difficult it can be to concentrate when you've got these quote-unquote voices in your head. And it makes a lot of sense. So as law enforcement, what we learned from that is, as I'm giving somebody who might have schizophrenia, for example, commands to put down a weapon or to get down on the ground, at the same time as I'm giving them those commands, they're hearing 20 different voices in their heads giving them 20 different commands. They don't know which ones to listen to. So as law enforcement, it certainly gave us a lot of empathy towards the people that we're working with who have schizophrenia, who oftentimes are homeless. And empathy is a key word here, but empathy can only go so far when it comes to dealing with homeless. So really the central question here is, Operation Safe can remove tents, trash, hazardous material from state property, but critics argue unless the people are moved into more stable housing and treatment and employment, they're simply relocating from one place to another, and then they'll come right back again. Oklahoma City itself is pursuing an encampment rehousing strategy right now rather than relying solely on clearances. It doesn't appear as though Norman is doing that. Supporters of the encampment enforcement point to drug use, overdoses, fires, violence, trash, needles, property crime. And Norman specifically, the governor is citing an overdose death and hazardous debris when he announced the cleanup. So the question becomes just how much disorder should the public be expected to tolerate in parks, in underpasses, in sidewalks, at Lake Thunderbird when you want to go camping with your kids? Do you want to be dealing with people who are homeless, who have mental health issues, who have drug addiction issues, and who oftentimes can become violent? We'll stick around. Coming up, Brian Kilmeade is going to be joining us at 8 o'clock, Eric Erickson at 11 o'clock, then Dana Lash at 2 o'clock, Lee Matthews with The Drive at 4.